Yeah. At that time, The wife is to follow her husband, take care of him just as she took care of him household life. But when the husband takes the renounced order of life and sannyas, the wife is to return home, become a saintly woman, setting an example for her children and daughters-in-law, and showing them how to live a life of austerity. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, his wife Vishnupriya Devi, although only 16 years old, also took the vow of austerity due to her husband's leaving home. She chanted her beads, and after finishing one round, she collected one grain of rice. In this way, as many rounds as she chanted, she would receive the same number of grains of rice and then cook them. So take prasad. This is called austerity. Even then, Indian widows or women whose husbands have taken sannyas follow the principles of austerity even though they live with their children. Prithu Maharaj's wife Archie was steadily determined to execute the duty of a wife, and while her husband was in the forest, she followed him, eating only fruits and leaves and lying down on the ground. So a woman's body is considerably more delicate than a man's. Queen Archie became very frail and thin. Parikarshita. When one engages in austerities, his body generally becomes thin and lean. Becoming fat is not a very good qualification of spiritual life, because a person who is engaged in spiritual life must reduce the comforts of the body, namely eating, sleeping, and making to the minimum. Although Queen Archie became very thin from living in the forest, according to regulator principles, she was not unhappy, for she was enjoying the honor of serving every husband. When Queen Archie saw that her husband, who had been so merciful to her and the earth, no longer showed symptoms of life, she lamented for a little while, and then built up fiery pyre on top of the hill, placed the body of her husband on it. Wherefore, after seeing all the life symptoms of her husband stop, the queen lamented for a while. The word Kaya Chet means for a little while. The queen was completely aware that her husband was not dead, although the symptoms of life, action, intelligence, and sense perception had ceased. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, as the embodied soul continually passes in this body from body to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. Self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. When the living energy transfers from one body to another, a process generally known as death, a sane man does not lament, for he knows that the living energy is not dead, but simply transferred from one body to another. The queen should have been afraid of being alone in the forest with the body of her husband, but since she was a great wife of a great personality, she lamented for a while, but immediately understood that she had many duties to perform. Thus, instead of wasting her time in lamentation, she immediately prepared a fiery pyre on top of a hill, and then placed the body of her husband on it to be burned. Maharaj Prithu is described here as Dayata, not only was he a king of earth, but he treated the earth as his protected child. Similarly, he protected his wife also. It was the duty of the king to give protection to everyone, especially to the earth or land which he ruled, as well as the citizens and his family members. This Prithu Maharaj was a perfect king. He gave protection to everyone, and therefore he is described as Dayata. After this, the queen executed the necessary funeral functions and offered oblations of water. After bathing in the river, she offered obeisances to various demigods situated in the sky in different planetary systems. Then circulated the fire, and while thinking of the lotus feet of her husband, entered the flames. Wherefore, the entrance of a chaste wife into the flames of the fire of her dead husband is known as sahagamana, which means dying with the husband. This system of sahagamana has been practiced in Vedic civilization from time immemorial. Even after the British period in India, this practice was rigidly observed. The sooner degraded to the point that even the wife, when the wife was not strong enough to enter the fire of her dead husband, the relative forced her to enter. Thus, this practice had to be stopped. But even today, there are still some solitary cases where a wife will voluntarily enter the fire and die with her husband. Even after an act of fortitude, personally, of a chaste wife would die in this way. After observing this brave act performed by the chaste wife, Archie, the wife of the great King Prithu, many thousands of wives, the demigods, along with the husbands, offered prayers to the queen, for they were very much satisfied. At that time, the demigods were situated on top of Mandara Hill, and all their wives began to shower flowers in the funeral pyre and began to talk among themselves as follows. The queen, the wife of Maharaj Pridhu Maharaj, whose name was Arch, she followed her husband to the forest, and she was a queen. Her body was very delicate, although she did not deserve to live in the forest. She voluntarily touched her nose, feet, and ground. So not only is the conduct of Maharaj Pritu described, but also his wife, the queen. So just as there are duties of the king to teach the common people, So the wife of the king also has duties to perform to set an example for others. So of course the men should follow after Pridhu Maharaj, and so he goes to the forest and takes vanaprastha. So therefore this is an example for the men to follow. At a certain age, after the children are grown up, they go to the forest and they do this vanaprastha. And then according to the Vedic rule, vanaprastha means the wife accompanies the husband. So therefore, Archi, the wife of Pritu, she also went to the forest, even though she was a queen, a woman, and not used to those austerities, she followed her husband to the forest. So this was the typical standard of vanaprastha life. The wife accompanies the husband and serves him in the forest. So in this way, there is some detachment of the vanaprastha because he's separated from his children and from the house and from properties. But there is some attachment. He still has the wife there. So therefore, it's not a complete detachment. So when he takes a further step and separates from the wife, then that is called sannyas. So this is an intermediate step in which he still has some attachment to the wife there, and she goes with them, but he performs great austerities. So the vanaprastha is some sort of intermediate step. So she acted according to duty also. So not only was Pritu Maharaj obliged to follow duty, even though he's a Shaktivedja avatar, doesn't have to do it. His wife also did the same thing. So just as the Supreme Lord has Lakshmi or whatever, the consort who's also fully qualified spiritually, so Shaktivedja avatars also have consorts who are fully qualified. So she also didn't have to do anything, but she set the example in the Varnashram system and followed her husband in the forest and acted in a similar way. So in this way they set examples for other people by doing these austerities. So we see here that not only she went to the forest and did the same austerities, then she became thin, as would be expected, and then her husband died before she died. Then she had to do the whole funeral. She had to burn the body, collect the wood, do all this thing. She had to do all these things on behalf of her husband. And then she entered the fire also. So as Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport, this was the custom according to that system, that the wife follows the husband into the fire. So this way she acted ideally, setting an example for others. So of course we know that the Supreme Lord never dies, and similarly Shaktivedja avatars never die. Here we see how they burn up in the fire, etc. So we should not think that this is actually a material body that is burning or anything. If you read the disappearance of Krishna and Balaram and the Yadus and all that, then they also burn everybody in the fire, etc. But it's obviously not their body. So the same with the Shaktivedja avatars. They have eternal sarupas in the spiritual world. So they're not really affected by this death, birth and death, etc. But they act like a normal couple. So we see that when he died, then she lamented for some time. This is what she lamented for the husband. So that is customary. At the same time, she knows that she's eternal. He's eternal, so there is no death really. So this is only some sort of pastime. But they go through this customary type of lamentation, etc. So again, this is following the rules. They're acting according to the principles set up in the Varnashram system, burning the body and the wife entering and
also, though it's not really necessary for them. So in this way, they acted ideally as kshatriyas and carried out their duties according to the scripture. We'll see examples of kshatriyas more than others here, because we'll see the recounting the histories of kings. So in relation to that, then we'll see kings going to the forest and doing great austerities along with their wives. So we won't see other examples so much of Vaishyas and Brahmins taking sannyas. But we do find a few examples, for instance, the Avanti Brahmana who took sannyas. We find one example there later on of a Brahmana taking sannyas. But mainly we'll see examples of ideal kshatriyas, that is, the kings, and setting an example for others. In this way, they very strictly follow the rules of Varnashram. But as I pointed out again, the whole point of the Bhagavan was not Varnashram, but bhakti. So though these rules are followed, the rules of bhakti actually supersede this. So one becomes a devotee of the Lord, all of these rules become secondary, and they may or may not be followed according to circumstances. If one is strictly in the Varnashram system, then one must follow these rules. If one is a devotee of the Lord, then he is not obliged in a similar way. So the Bhagavata concludes that if one becomes a devotee of the Lord, and he gives up Swadharma, he does not follow according to his ashram and his varna, those rules. What is the sin? No sin. For other people in the system, if they don't follow, yes, there is sin. And they have to do some prayaschitta every time they break one of these rules. But for the devotee of the Lord, no, he does not have to do any prayaschitta if he neglects those rules. That is provided he is worshipping the Supreme Lord. So there's no problem if the devotee is not able to follow these rules for some reason or other, then he can ignore them. He doesn't have to follow them so strictly. On the other hand, he has to also be completely engaged in the service of the Lord. That's his, the other side of it. The devotee, therefore, by doing that, surpasses the other rules, and they become not obligatory for him. On the other hand, if the person in the Varnashram system does everything, but it doesn't do any bhakti, it's all useless. It becomes completely useless. So if another king is not a devotee and he does all this, then what is the use? It's not useful at all. It may look nice that he's always following the rules of the Varna very nicely, has great determination, whatever. But if he doesn't worship the Lord, then useless. So Prithvi Maharaj had a good example, because also he showed devotion. Well, previously said that actually he surpassed the yoga system, he surpassed the Varnashram, and he was simply concentrating on the Supreme Lord. So he went through all this, but he also worshipped the Supreme Lord. So if we worship the Supreme Lord and we don't do the rest, there's also no loss. If you do them both, fine. But if you worship the Lord and don't do the rest, still it's okay. And if you do everything but you don't worship the Lord, then it's zero. It's useless. So that is what we have to learn from all of this. The rules and stuff are here, but more important than that is worship of the Supreme Lord.
When you're getting the preparing for the funeral rites, get all the wood and all the chitita on it.
Yeah, she gathered the wood on the top of a hill, put his body there, lit the fire, and watched him burn up.
So he voluntarily get in the fire and burn.
No, the king was already dead. And then she entered the fire afterwards.
I mean, before he died, did he?
Huh? No, after he died and she burned him up, then she entered the fire.
She also get into the fire with him.
When the fire was burning, then she also entered.
Those days, they are very ideal husband and wife. So it's not very difficult for the wife to follow the very ideal.
Anyway, they had spiritual bodies, so it didn't matter anyway. What's that?
Dhritarashtra. He himself made fire and
air. Yeah, he burned his body through meditation or something. Well, it's quite a little unclear because there's also forest fire. There's a forest fire. It says he burned in the forest fire in one place also, I think. So I don't know.
The reason he was blind and how he can tell the wood. He was burned by the obscurity.
Whatever. That says it was a forest fire thing also. He burned in the forest fire. So I don't know what the truth is.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna did, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do that one. Chaitanya, Krishna left his body, but something like the first time he did, but in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who didn't see like that?
Well, nobody really knows. It's not clear how he left his body. There are different versions in different places, and nothing in the Chaitanya Charitamrita at all about how he left.
But sometimes, you know, some others think like that, and, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basked his body in three deities or something like
that. Well, so there's no authoritative version. Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we accept, doesn't say anything. Chaitanya Bhagavat doesn't say anything. So only we get other scriptures, so I think maybe some other things. Maybe Chaitanya Mangala, which we don't accept. We don't accept that really as authoritative because there's some contrary stories there. So we don't really accept that. Some say he went in the ocean, some say immersed into the deity, and this and that, whatever, but we don't know really.
Then, what is the actual thing then?
Huh?
What is the actual thing?
We don't know. I don't know. Not recorded. There's no samadhi, there's nothing there, so we don't know.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared on the near.
Some say he was buried in the Jagannath temple. I don't know, that's another version. No, in the Jagannath temple they buried him, but that sounds weird also. That's one story. Some scholars made up that story. There's all sorts of versions.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was merged into the New York.
Yeah, that's one story also. But we don't have any scriptural evidence for that.
So how you left the body?
We don't know. There's no script. There's contrary things in different scriptures, but we don't accept those scriptures anyway. So that,
And somebody was saying that somebody killed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That also somebody was killing. That's a Brahmana. Because he was a Brahmana.
So we don't know. Not really. No, not completely.
Because you think that apart from that is quoted that Mahaprabhu says that my Senapati Bhakta will come.
Yeah, but anyway, we don't really accept it as final authority. One reason is Lo Chandas was a Gauranga Nagari. They treat Lord Chaitanya and Madhurya Rasa, and they act as gopis for Lord Chaitanya. So then we know that Bhakti Siddhanta rejected that. So.
You sing similar songs of Lord Chaitanya?
Yeah, the ones that aren't like that. Some songs are like that also. Gopi Bhav songs for Lord Chaitanya. Secondary to that, in support of that. Everything supports that relationship.
Well, it says protection of that body, protection of that love. To protect the earth.
Protection?
To protect the earth.
The earth.
The earth. Earth.
Yeah.
What should be understanding in this protection?
Well, all the people on the earth, all the animals, all the plants, everything. Usually when a king or great personality loses his body, his cremation is done with great pomp and many people all attending, but when, in the case of Pradimarashi, he finds that his wife was alone and she laid at the fireplace. It's quite well, that's what Vanaprastha is. That's Vanaprastha life. They go to the forest and die, that's it.
When a person becomes old, he will satisfy.
Whatever, Vanaprastha, then they don't care.
In Sri Sampradaya, there is very specific about following the rules and regulations.
Mm.
Sadharma is, Guru is not followed.
Yeah, but they do sati still? But they don't do sati. No, they broke the rules. They're simple. So they don't follow everything, I think. Yeah. They follow some things, but not everything. It's impossible to follow nowadays if you really want to go. Do they take vanaprastha? Very few Sri Sampradaya take vanaprastha either. Very few. Very, very few, if any. And a few take sannyas. So in other words, most stay grihasthas. So that also is not really proper. Why do they do that? So it's not really following exactly either.
How the government has banned sati system.
Mm-hmm. Whatever, yeah.
In Rajasthan, many family members push their wife to go and
the wife enters the fire of the husband, she also lives in the same family as the husband, so that
it is said like that. But of course that's a general rule, obviously.
Yes.
It's not, it's absolute.
I don't know if I'm going to talk to you about that.